Instead of going straight to the movies, you know, when he picks up his kids, they have to wait until he goes to the coffee shop and all those types of things. I think that video was well done. We're continuing a message series here at New Season Church called Baggage, and today we're looking at overcoming addictions, the baggage of addictions. I want to invite you to take out of your worship program this morning the message download, which is an outline of what I'm going to be talking about. It's a part on there for you to take some notes and to follow along. But before we get too far into the message, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Oh God, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be here, to be gathered in this place. We pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive your word as it's proclaimed. We pray, Lord, that it would dwell in us richly. We know that your word has power to change lives. And so, Lord, we pray that your presence would be made known. I pray that you protect me from me and hide me behind the cross of Jesus, that his name might be lifted up in this place. It's in his sweet and precious name we pray. Amen. So we started this whole series called Baggage on Easter, actually, where we talked about overcoming the baggage of death. And then last week, we looked at baggage check, where we spent some time talking about the need for us to acknowledge baggage in our lives and to give our baggage to God. And today, we're going to be looking at how we can overcome addiction in our lives and get rid of that baggage. Most all of us either here have either been addicted to something or know someone who is addicted to something, and we have felt the undue effects of being addicted to something, or we have caused undue effects to other people because of our addiction. You know, addictions are really tricky things, aren't they? I mean, nobody sets out to get addicted to something. You know, nobody takes, you know, the first drag of a cigarette thinking, you know, good gosh, you know, I'm going to smoke for the rest of my life and ruin my lungs and get emphysema, maybe get lung cancer, maybe hurt somebody else by my secondhand smoke. Nobody sets out to do that. Nobody sets out, you know, to take the first drink and to say, you know, I think I'm going to drink for the rest of my life and become addicted to alcohol so that my life gets ruined and I end up in the gutter and I lose my marriage and I lose my friends. Nobody sets out for that kind of addiction. You know, nobody sets out, you know, innocently typing in XXX into the search bar, thinking that they'll get addicted to pornography and spend 8 hours a day on the computer, you know, and lose intimacy in their marriage and perhaps lose their job. Nobody sets out to do that stuff. But you see, that's the power of addiction. That's how addictions are tricky. You know, they just kind of come into your life a little bit, and then they grab you, and before you know it, you're, you know, doggy paddling under the water of addiction. Here's one of the huge problems with addictions, though, according to the Bible. Addictions, in whatever form they come, become our master. They bind us. They come to control us. They come to rule us. But for the follower of Jesus, the Bible says something else. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other God beside me. The problem with addictions is that when we're addicted to something, it becomes our God. It becomes our master. We just have to have it. It comes to control us. But the Bible says we're supposed to only have one Lord and one master and one person that controls us, and that's God Himself made known to us in Jesus Christ. But you know, if you've ever been addicted to something, it quickly becomes your God. It becomes the one you just have to have. It becomes the one that is the desire of your heart. It becomes the one that rules you. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:19, for a man is a slave to what has ever mastered him. A man is a slave and a woman is a slave to whatever has mastered them. So I ask you today, what has mastered you? Now, before you get too smug and think, oh gosh, you know, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't look at pornography and, you know, I don't abuse drugs and all that, you know, I'm not addicted to those things. You know, I'm not addicted to those big things. I would challenge you with this, and that is that many of us are addicted to some of the lesser things, at least the things that society counts lesser, but they're nonetheless masters and rulers of our lives. For example, you know, you might have an addiction to looking good all the time, and you spend all kinds of time getting ready. You spend all kinds of time at the store, and it becomes a shopping addiction because you got to have the best clothes to look good. Or, you know, you spend so much time trying to look good that you go to the gym. All I have to say is, at least that's not my child for once. So you spend all this time at the gym, so much time at the gym because you're addicted to looking good that they named a treadmill after you. Or you know what? You might be a person that's addicted to pleasing people, to getting people's approval. And so this is why you work all the time. This is why you're a perfectionist. This is why you will do anything in your power to get that drug of people being pleased with you and what you do. There's all kinds of addictions out there. Perhaps food is your addiction, and that's your drug of choice. You know, it always makes me laugh when preachers and church people, you know, they'll get up there and they'll say, you can't be having any alcohol. Alcohol is bad for you. Meanwhile, their gut is hanging on the floor as if, you know, being addicted to food, you know, is any better than being addicted to alcohol. But, you know, addictions come in all kinds, in many different ways. So what are you a slave to? What is the master over you? In 1993, in the boys' bathroom at my high school, a friend of mine gave me a substance that caused me to have an addiction that lasted, and I battled for 10 years. Now, before you think, oh gosh, it's something glamorous and, you know, really bad or something like that, you know, something that society calls bad, like, you know, cocaine or, you know, heegee weegee wacky tobacco, whatever you want to call it, or pills. I'll tell you, it was something less glamorous than that. It was, you know, perhaps just as disgusting as any of those things. But what I came to be addicted to in my senior year in high school and battled for 10 years was what was known as snuff, or dip, or some of you might know it as chewing tobacco. And I'm not talking about the kind that, you know, baseball players, you know, put in. You see them there with the, you know, the big cheek. I'm talking about stuff that comes in a can like that. We used to call that Green Bear, though the bear is brown, but Kodiak. And you take it, and you take a pinch out, and you put it in the front of your lip. Here's the thing about snuff, is that it contains little fiberglass particles that you can't even see. And the fiberglass particles cut your lip, and that's how the nicotine is conveyed to your body. It's just kind of the same idea as smoking, except you don't ingest it in your lungs. You get it through your lip, which is cut, and the nicotine is delivered to you. Now, here's the thing. I remember the first time I tried it. And if you ever have tried a cigarette before, most of us have except for Steve. But if you ever tried a cigarette before, or the same thing with this nastiness, you get a little high the first time you try it. You get a little buzzy in your head. You begin to feel good, and you know, so you're like, oh, this is pretty good, you know, in your stupidity. And so then you take a little bit more, and before you know it, though, the high goes away from nicotine, and you become addicted to the nicotine. And just like all other addictions, you know, just like the coffee man, just like, you know, people that are addicted to alcohol, people that are addicted to drugs, you know, you exhibit those same behaviors, you know, because I remember it, you know, just trying all that I had to, you know, get some of this when I didn't have any. And so, you know, I would have no problem going to the convenience store and plopping down 300 pennies, you know, to pay the $3. You know, how idiotic is that? So I could get some. You know, I can remember being in a place and wanting it so bad, I just wanted to get out of that place, come, you know, heck or high water. You know, I can, you know, remember, you know, also kind of having the tendencies to hide it. You know, to hide it first from my mother, you know, so my mother didn't see it. And then later on, after I was married, you know, from Diana, when I would quit for 2 months, And then something would happen in my life, it would trigger it, and I'd go back to it, and I'd try to hide it from it. That's great for a marriage, I'll tell you. That's great for trust issues. And, you know, it's so nasty, and so disgusting, and all of that different stuff. And I knew in my mind, you know, both intellectually and spiritually, I knew intellectually and spiritually that this became my Lord, and that I had failed the Lord, but yet I still, you know, couldn't stop. I still had to have it. I still had to do it. Now, I'm thankful that by the grace of God, by the power of the risen Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit that was at work in my life, and by the power of the Nicoderm patch, I was able to kick that habit, and I had been kicking that habit for the last 6 years this May. So I'm thankful for that. Now, I tell you that story and tell you that about myself, not just to be vulnerable and us to sing Kumbaya together and, you know, hold hands, or to give you something to talk about on the way home. You know, you can do the math. Oh, yeah, that's 6 years ago. Yeah, okay. But I tell you that. I tell you that to say that if God, by the power of His Holy Spirit through the risen Christ, can set me free from such stupidity, then God can do the same thing for you. God can do the same thing for people in your life. John 8:36 in the Bible says, "He who the Son has set free is free indeed." See, church, God uses things like Nicoderm patches. God uses things like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. God uses things like going to the therapist to break addictions. Those are all in God's arsenal, His toolkit. But in the end, it's the power of God at work in a person's life that sets them free for addiction. And it's only that power that can set a person free. I want to share with you this morning three biblical principles whereby you can be set free from whatever has come to rule you and to be your Lord and Master. After you have identified what it is that is holding you in bondage, after you have identified what it is that you're addicted to, after you have identified what's Master and Lord over you, the first biblical principle to carry out is to take your addiction to God, to take it to God. Romans 6, 12 to 14. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master." Paul is saying there, take what it is, take that sin, take that addiction, and offer it to God. Take it to God. You know, if you're facing addiction today, my prayer for you is that you will come to the point that you'll be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and say, "I refuse to live in that darkness anymore. I refuse to be bound by such things anymore. I refuse to let such things ruin and control my life, that I'm not going to live in the fear anymore of getting caught." My prayer is that you would take it to God and that God would begin such a work in you that you would realize that I don't have to live there anymore. I can take it to God. Yes, church, my prayer for you is if you find yourself addicted this morning, is that you would pray with all your might to God, that you would take it to God and pray with all your might. Not some little trite Sunday school prayer that says, "You know, God, I'm kind of dealing with this issue." No, get on your face before God. Get on your knees before God. Take it to God and say, "God, I have this going on in my life. God, I need you, and I know that only you can break this, and it's only through your power that I can overcome and be set free." You know, we could bring addicted people up here, person after person. We could parade them up here. And they would tell the same story about God working in their lives. Take it away, God. Second principle to be set free from addiction is to take it public. Take it public. The Bible says in James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that they may be healed." Confess it to God and confess it to someone else, James is saying. That's a really hard one. Confess it in public. Take it public. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you have to get up in church on Sunday morning and confess it, unless God is calling you to do that. But what it does mean is use the power of community in your life. So if you belong to a journey group, you know, one of those smaller groups that meets within the church and you're struggling with an addiction, you might want to go to your journey group and say, "Guys, I'm struggling with an addiction." You might want to go to your spouse and say, I'm struggling with an addiction. You might want to go to a friend or a coworker and say, hey, I'm struggling with an addiction. And you want to ask them three things. You want to ask that person or persons, please pray for me. Please help me when I fall down. Please give me accountability. You see, by going public with it, you not only get their prayer support, you not only get their help when you fall off the wagon, so to speak, when you fall down, but you also get some accountability. One of the best things you can do is say, I'm quitting, and announce it to all kinds of people, because by our nature, we're people pleasers, and we don't want to let somebody down. And so we're more likely to keep what we say if we tell other people, if we take it public. If we take it public. And for those of you on the receiving end, gosh, you know, respond in grace. If somebody comes to you and says, I have an addiction and I need your help, I need you to pray for me, I need you to hold me accountable, have compassion. Deal with them in grace as God deals with each one of us. You know, don't beat them up to no end. You know, they've already beat themselves up. It's already been hard enough to come to you. But instead, give them your support. Respond in compassion. All right, not only take it to God, not only take it to public, not only take it public, but then do the third thing, and that's take it down. Make your body and what you do your slave. And make you and your body a slave to Christ. You see the difference? You become the master. The addiction doesn't rule you. Paul wrote, no, I beat my body and make it my slave. So that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, make it my slave. Do what you can to take down your addiction. Make no mistake, it takes action. You have to take the first step. But then make no mistake about it. It's going to be the power of God at work in your life that ultimately sets you free. Leave the rest to God. Because I mean, church, I got to tell you, church, God is bigger than your addiction. The God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead can take down your addiction. One of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, from Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. See, I can do all things. I can beat this addiction through Christ who strengthens me. You and I, when we put our trust, when we align ourselves with the Jesus who healed lepers, when we align ourselves and put our trust in the Jesus who healed the blind, when we align ourselves and put our trust in the Jesus who was raised from the dead, when we align ourselves with the Jesus who turned water into wine, then we are aligning ourselves with the power of God to set us free through Jesus Christ. You can take this addiction down. Today you can be free. Today can be the first day of your freedom. Today can be the first day that you help somebody else become free. Will you join me in prayer? Let's pray. God, we ask this morning in your holy presence that you would do a work that only you can do. We know for some of us sitting here, it's a moment of truth. We know this is a moment to decide. We say to you that we're tired of being mastered by something else, that we want to be free. Help us deal with what has mastered us according to your word. Help us acknowledge the addictions and the strongholds in our lives. Help us to acknowledge the stuff in our life that just shouldn't be there. Help us to take it public and say, I need help. As we take it to you, O God, as we take it public, help us take it down. We know this is our time. We know that your power is available to us. We know we've battled long enough. Set us free. Set us free, Lord, that you would be our one master, our one Lord. In Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen.